ancient texts revealed, deception exposed. This is The Last Christian. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Starts now? We started it? We started the uncensored truth, Joel.
Hey, cool. All right.
Well, that's going to be fun. Yeah, the guy said we did it. Which voice was that? That was a good one.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's good.
I mean, Levin Labs was good, but there's that other one. I found another one. It actually sounds like you're talking.
Oh, yeah.
Reflecting or anything else. It's pretty cool. But this is our midweek show, and we are going to do a study. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to take a Giants flood break because we really got into the show in the last show about different heretical texts and stuff.
Yeah,
and I figured, hey, let's just continue that because we talk about other books a lot.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure we're picking out some good ones and making sure people just don't randomly get some of the bad ones. It takes some time. So we're going to talk about them today. We're going to continue that conversation. What do you think?
I'm all for it. But as soon as we finished that last show, we talked about it for a couple of minutes, and we were like, wow, we need to go. We need to explore that further. So, we're taking a break from Genesis. I'm sure we'll return to it at some point, but right now, we wanted to get into this. It's important stuff, and if it wasn't, it wouldn't have come up. It's my opinion. Right, so exactly.
In my humble yet totally accurate opinion.
There you go.
Cool. Well, on that note, how about you pray so we can actually get more wisdom and insight on what books are good and or not good.
I will. Father, we come to you and we ask, please, that you do provide us with all the good information and allow us to let everybody know the books that they need to look at, the Bible being number one, of course, and then those books that they need to stay far, far away from that do not meet the requirements that are necessary. And, of course, we know there's only one requirement to come to you and to receive salvation, and that is through your Son, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we want to make sure that we always emphasize that to the very best of our ability. We ask these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's do a little preface on this. You like that word, preface?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And you remember the dude named Ezra?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he was one of the prophets. So he wrote a couple other books as well, like the Apocalypse of Ezra or Second Esdras, depending on which version you get.
Okay.
But he talks about a lot of the different books. And the concept here, if you read it, I forgot what chapter it was in Second Esdras or the Ezra Apocalypse. Mm-hmm. But during his time, basically, they lost a lot of the writings.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You remember that? And then he's like, he's praying to God, hey, can we get them back? And he's like, God's like, okay, get five of your best dudes that are writers that have, written all this stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you set the time aside, and then he gave him something to drink. I don't know what it was, but they just wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote and actually rewrote all of the texts again so they would have them.
Now, how far did they go in that, David? From where to where?
They basically all of the texts from the beginning, with Moses and
from Genesis to what is what I'm asking.
Up to the prophets.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so essentially the Old Testament. And but then he specifically got a word from the Lord that said there's this set of books, and they're going to be the basic books necessary for salvation.
Right.
But then there'll be other books for people who want further knowledge.
Okay, now I've got to break in on you here for a second because, I got all these notes earlier, and you bombarded me with all this stuff. And what is this Naga Moxus or Naga something or other? What is that?
The eggnog?
Yeah. What is this Naga thing?
Well, those are some of the things, and that you're talking about Nag Hammadi.
Nag Hammadi. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Nog, like eggnog, but with an A.
Okay.
And Hammadi. I'm trying to think of something funny for Hammadi. I can't think of anything. Hey, what's a Hammadi with you? But this is why I wanted to get the point across that, yeah, we have the Bible. And mm-hmm. We need to know the Bible, and that's the crux of it.
Amen.
But there are other books. Like, we use Enoch and Jubilees a lot.
Right.
And he says, if you want further knowledge, these books are there for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sanctioned. So they're not necessarily what might say, hey, it's canon.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater either.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, a lot of the people that I talk to today, if they don't understand some of these books, oh, you can't use that book, you can't use that book.
Yeah, I got that a lot.
Yeah, you get it a lot. But here's the problem. They'll quote some modern author.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And they'll be like, oh, this guy wrote this book. You should read this. And then we'll have a Bible study at our class, and we're gonna get into this book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's another writer. Why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Enoch actually walked with God for 300 years before he was taken up.
Right.
So I kind of would maybe trust that a little better. But that opens the door to fake stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's about this Nag Hammadi teachings, to some of them, and their Gnostic teachings, other books as well.
Okay.
But specifically there, they found them in, like, the 2nd century. And they came out in the 2nd century. And then in 1945, surprisingly, the same time they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. So you find the real books, and then you find some of the fake books at the same time. Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it goes. So Nag Hammadi is basically like a place.
Okay.
It's a town called Nag Hammadi in Upper Egypt.
Egypt. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And there's this Egyptian farmer up there. Of course, his name was Muhammad. And some of his brothers, and basically they were looking for dirt that they can, you know, fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were looking for fertilizer, they got this jar, and in the jar were 13 what we call codices or books in modern mm-hmm. language.
Okay.
And in there was 15 Gnostic treatises, or like little, you know, epistles and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they were all written in the Coptic language. So they sold a bunch of them on the black market, and then in 1952 they wound up in Zurich, and then finally the full collection was gathered and translated in the 1970s, and then now we got the English translation. So that's why we see this in the late 1970s. This is when a lot of this stuff started coming out.
That's what I remember, because I graduated high school in 1976. You know, so I remember the talk about that, and I think that's what caused me to have questions about the Dead Sea Scrolls, because mm-hmm. those had been around for a while, and then they said, okay, well, we found more, basically, and we found more, and now these kind of contradict the others, and so that made me think, well, okay, maybe I need to stay away from all of it, because I wasn't.
That's the goal of the enemy.
Yeah, I wasn't up to speed on it. I wasn't educated enough. I wasn't knowledgeable enough about the Bible to be able to differentiate the good from the bad.
Right.
So I just threw it all out.
That's how Satan works.
Mm-hmm.
He'll throw in a whole bunch of stuff, like with the flat earth. He'll just throw in a whole bunch of crazy things, and then mm-hmm. people will eventually say, I don't want anything to do with that Bible because it says the earth is flat, when it doesn't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's the whole goal, is the confusion, because the confusion causes people to not want to look at even the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I liken it to this. You have like this big, beautiful, crystal marble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth a lot of money. So, but what Satan does is he'll go get a whole box of marbles that look the same.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll dump them out on the table along with your crystal one. And you're like spending all this time
forever
trying to go through all of them and
mm-hmm.
figure out which one is the real marble.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
And that's what he does. However, if you have the Holy Spirit and you ask him all the time to show you the truth, he'll pick it out. He goes, here it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why is that so, Mr. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Well, let me show you, since you asked, because he said, you know, ask and you shall receive.
Amen.
So we just go ahead and do that. So that's the basic idea of the Nag Hammadi text.
Okay.
The crux of it was the books that we talked about, the Gospel of Thomas, mm-hmm. the Apocrypha of John, the Gospel mm-hmm. of Philip mm-hmm. was in there, the Gospel of Mary,
Judas.
Of the Archons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like modern Marvel.
Yeah, comic. I'm looking at them here from what we went over in the in that last show. And by the way, we would encourage you guys to go back and look at that show, because there was a lot of information in there.
Yeah, and we got a few more books this time. Yeah. The Gospel of Truth is a Valentinian. But the ones we looked at last time was what the Apocrypha of John, Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Judas. Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm throwing them up here on screen real quick for everybody to see. Yeah, yeah. This is from last time, guys.
Yeah, last time. And there's a few more we're going to talk about today. And then the second treatise of the great Seth that claims Jesus wasn't crucified. Islam uses that a lot. And then the infancy Gospel of Thomas. So just briefly again, the Gospel of Judas portrays him as he got a bad rap because he did something good for Jesus. He freed Jesus from this earthly body so he could be this spirit god. Again, Gnosticism. He became a god, you know, as opposed to he was God. The Gospel of Thomas, it basically denies the resurrection and says that it was Simon of Cyrene was actually on the cross, and Jesus was just standing in a corner laughing at him.
Oh, man.
Apocrypha of John, that messes up creation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it wasn't really God that created everything, and the serpent was good because he was just trying to let everybody know.
Mm.
So you see the same theme all the time.
Right.
That Jesus wasn't God, and he didn't come down to be a man, and Satan was good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all the same story.
It's twisted.
And obviously that's not the case. So, what is Gnosticism?
That's a good question. Gnostics, the Gnostics were the evil ones, right? They're the ones that came up with this crazy stuff.
Yes, but the word is the Greek word gnosis.
Gnosis, okay.
Well,
that reminds me like a hypnosis. I immediately think of that.
Yeah, hypnosis is all that.
Okay.
Gnosis in the Greek means knowledge.
Okay.
Okay, and it's a broad term that they use, Gnosticism.
Mm-hmm.
And their god is knowledge.
Oh, I get you. Yeah, okay.
Okay, sort of like Scientology. Gnosticism says, well, you can attain godhood by secret knowledge.
Okay, this sounds a lot like maybe it's far different, I don't know. You'll tell me, but it sounds like Scientology to me.
Yeah, they're all the same.
Okay.
And they're all the same. We got a secret knowledge. Our guy is the guy. He's the Messiah of some sort, you know? And I've seen this. This was amazing. Just the other day, it was the Mormons knocked on the door of the Jehovah's Witness.
Oh.
And they were just in limbo for like hours. They had to call the authorities in to come and you know, separate them all.
Point, counterpoint until they went into World War or what?
And neither one of them would leave.
Yeah. Man. That's great. That is great.
So, the secret knowledge, people, the material world is evil and is created by this flawed, ignorant God. Okay. And then, but the real God was, you know, the devil, and he made everything nice.
Yeah.
That's what he's he's unknowable and utterly transcendent. And so now they have an unknowable God. That's convenient, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And your soul is divine and trapped in a physical body needing liberation. So that's why Judas was a good guy, because he let Jesus out, and now he can be a god. And that sounds like the Mormons. You'll be eternally a god on your own planet. And that's how Jesus got this planet.
Your own planet, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. He beat up his brother Satan, and then he got this planet. And now if you're a Mormon woman, you can be eternally pregnant on your own planet with your own god. So just a lot of ridiculous nonsense. I can't believe people believe it.
I can't either, you know, especially because it's not that old. You know, Mormonism is not that old.
Yeah. Why's that with Joey? Remember Joey? Joseph Smith.
Yeah, Smith. So, yeah, I couldn't think of the last name to save my life, but yeah, that
not only the most common name in the world. Is he more chains than a Chinese phone book?
What was it? He found the gold, some kind of gold tablets or something, if I remember right, and then he lost them, you know?
Yeah, so here's the deal. His older brother was bad. And then his brother died, and he's like, he went to the church, and they're like, can I pray for him to get out of the holding cell, which you call purgatory? And they're like, and they told him, no such thing. You know, he's going to the judgment seat, and he can't get out. So he was distraught, messed with his mind. So he has this vision. And Moroni, or Moron, I call him. Moroni, the angel, comes to him and said, here's these magical glasses, here's this magical golden book, which remarkably sounded a lot like the King James. And only he can read it with the magic glasses, but somehow he lost the glasses and the book. So now he's the one that's got to tell you.
Yeah, he has
but
to
they
tell
tried
you.
To chase him through the forest. So now he's got this giant golden book. You know how heavy gold is.
Yeah.
But he's running through the forest with this giant golden book, and somehow he gets away from these evil beings that are chasing him. It's a really weird story. But it came to the point where now you become your own god and inherit your own planet. Mm. So that's where that's where that all started.
I feel sorry for him. I truly feel sorry for him. I really do.
Because he couldn't bear the thought that his brother was going to go to hell, so he made up some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, it's the same origin as Islam. It's just an American version of Islam, basically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really.
Jesus wasn't God. He was fighting the brother. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so some of the key teachings of Gnosticism versus the biblical doctrine.
Okay.
The physical world is evil and a prison, and the Bible teaches that the physical world was created good, Genesis 1:31. Okay. The Gnostic belief is that the God of the Old Testament is a lower evil God, or a demiurge.
Of what? What'd you say? A nimbus.
Demiurge.
Okay.
Yeah. That's just an old-fashioned word for a lower evil God.
Okay.
But as obviously we know, and the Bible teaches, that the God of Israel and subsequently Jesus is the only true God.
Amen.
And the creator God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gnostic belief is that salvation comes through secret knowledge, whereas the Bible teaches that salvation comes through faith in Christ.
Yeah. Now, why in the world would people buy this secret knowledge crap? I mean,
well, it makes you feel special.
I guess.
Yeah, well, I know something you don't know.
Yeah, you'd have to be special to believe it. Okay. I'm sorry.
And it's only a special group of people that we tell this knowledge to.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. They make you feel like you're special. Oh, did God really say that? Oh, well, if you eat that, then you can be like God. And you can know good and evil.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I feel a lot more special having given my life to Christ. I feel really special. Because I'm a child of the King. That makes me really special.
Out,
yeah. Okay.
Because he made us kings and priests.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means? We get to make rules with them.
Rule and reign.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah.
It's a little bit more special than secret knowledge.
Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't believe what we just said, read the Bible. It's there. It's right there. And it's in print. Yeah.
Kings and priests. We sit around the throne with them.
Mm-hmm.
There's 24 elders on 24 thrones, because
mm-hmm.
he wants somebody to rule and reign with him.
Amen.
That's what he said. Mm-hmm. But it's only through his power, because he's the King of Kings.
Right.
So he doesn't say he's the King of paupers.
No.
It doesn't say he's the King of these idiots that I found on earth.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's the King of Kings. So Amen. He has made us kings.
Amen.
And Jesus only appeared human. That's the Gnostic belief. Mm. He didn't really become a man. He just appeared, and he kind of looked like man.
And had that happened, salvation couldn't have happened.
Correct, because he would have to be a man to pay off the sin debt of man.
Amen.
And then, you know, and John and Philippians both talk about that. Jesus is fully God and fully man.
Amen.
Yeah. And this is leans into the Catholic Church a bit, too. The Gnostic belief is that Mary Magdalene was a key revealer of hidden wisdom.
Yeah, okay.
All right. And that's where, what was that show, that movie that came out? Tom Hanks was in it. And it had all this secret knowledge, and that Jesus was married.
Yeah,
forget the name of the movie.
You got me on that, because I'm one of them guys, I don't watch a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And the thing is, David, if it's a religious movie, I'm even more cautious. That may sound crazy, but I'm even more cautious because I feel like I don't want them taking, you know, literary license to change stuff.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times, like if my grandkids are watching a religious movie and something plays out and say, ah, and they get to point that, and well, I say, no, that didn't happen. And then I got to spend like 20 minutes, you know, explaining to them the difference of what they saw and what really happened, you know. So
yep.
Anyway, I rarely watch
it. The Da Vinci Code, that's what it was.
Yeah, okay, I've heard of it. I never watched it.
Yeah, so yeah, you got that's the Da Vinci Code. Yeah, okay. That was with Tom Hanks, and it goes along all of these same things. Basically, Mary Magdalene was his secret wife, okay, and she revealed special wisdom, and that they had a family, and he wasn't real. You know, he just appeared as a man.
No,
all this nonsense that comes down, and the Bible teaches. That apostolic teaching comes through the 12 apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit. Okay, not a key revealer of hidden wisdom.
Right.
And Mary Magdalene is probably upset about that. It's like, don't blame me for that crap. You know, because she was a preacher.
Uh-huh.
You know, yep. Told everybody, hey, I had seven demons. Yeah. Look at me now.
And that's something that a lot of people don't know, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So those are the basic beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the early church rejected Gnosticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good move.
Because, well, part of the Nicene Council, not the Nice Guy Council, the Nicene, from Nicaea.
Okay.
And because they weren't really that nice guys. And they were a little anti-Semitic, too.
That's in Italy, right, where they came from?
Yeah.
Nicene sounds like, okay, all right, go ahead.
Yeah. Because the Romans. What have the Romans ever done for us? So, apostolic authority. Part of what they wanted to include in the New Testament was it had to be written by an apostle.
Okay.
It's one of the people who were there and knew Jesus personally.
Okay.
So, that included his brothers, Jude, included... Paul, obviously, he wrote most of it. But the Gnostic writings came after that.
Okay. So they were automatically disqualified.
Yeah, just because they came around in the second century, long after this, and people just started to rewrite it. So they didn't even consider it. Now, another reason they reject it is because it contradicts the gospel.
Okay. Yeah.
A Gnostic will deny the incarnation, like Jesus became man, okay? And John specifically states that because it was starting already. He says, if anybody says that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, he's the Antichrist.
Yeah, okay.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They deny the crucifixion. They deny the resurrection as a means of salvation, okay? So... ergo, you are not saved, folks, if you deny the crucifixion and resurrection, because then your sins aren't paid for and you got to go pay for them.
Right.
Okay. Then they had elitism. Remember the Gnostic? Oh, you can have secret knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They claimed a higher class of knowers.
Yeah.
Well, so I know in my knower.
Yeah. Okay.
And that undermined the universal offer of salvation that, mm-hmm. you know, it's simple as a child could receive it. So now only smart people can be saved and get, it's not right.
That's out.
You know, what about that innocent little baby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there was moral confusion. So some Gnostic sections taught extreme asceticism, or conversely, that their moral behavior didn't matter because only the spirit counts. Okay. So they made rules essentially they could do whatever they want because it doesn't matter. It's only your flesh.
Yeah. So if people weren't really familiar with scripture, they could get confused and manipulated mm-hmm. really easy.
Yeah, and James even talked about that. You know, he addressed that. People say, oh, James contradicted Paul. That's, you know, you're saved by faith. No, not really. He said, I'll show you my faith mm-hmm. by my works. And he was contradicting these people because they're like, oh, I'm saved and I could just do whatever.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter. It's just flesh. And he's like, no.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that today. No.
Ah, so you can't just write off your behavior that it doesn't count mm-hmm. and only the spirit counts. And that's what he was addressing. And then Jude addressed that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Irenaeus. Remember Irenaeus?
Vaguely. Go ahead.
Not Uranus, but Irenaeus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he wrote the book called Against Heresies. And he has a lot of writings about the Gnostics in there.
Okay.
And what he called it is an abyss of madness and blasphemy.
Ooh, that's bad.
And I would say that is quite an astute observation and quite detailed.
Yeah,
it is an abyss. It means it's never ending.
Right.
And it's definitely madness and it's definitely blasphemy. Okay. So we're at the first half. Why don't you tell people how they really can be saved instead of these gospels?
Absolutely. All you've got to do is go to the Father and say, Father, I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ is your son. I know he died for me on the cross. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb and rose again, just like he told everybody he would. I know he sits at your right hand. He's coming back for his church one of these days in that moment we call the rapture. Then the Lord will unleash hell on earth for 7 years, but Jesus and all of us are going to come back with him and take back this world. Father, I promise to follow you all the remaining days of my life until I either die or go in that rapture. Amen. Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
Nag Hammadi.
Nag Hammadi, okay.
Sounds like a Christmas thing.
Yeah, sounds like something.
All right, these are the texts. So we talked about the Apocryphon of John, and it portrays the creator as being blind, ignorant being, and his name was Yaldabaoth. Okay.
Oh, good grief.
Obviously, that's not the truth.
Yeah, that's nonsense. Yeah, total nonsense.
Gospel of Thomas. Now Thomas was all the sayings of Jesus. He just had sayings of this and that and the other, but some of them were kind of weird. So he suggests salvation through interpreting secret sayings of Jesus. And he already told Thomas. You know, he didn't tell anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
God, let me, I'm giving you secret knowledge. Okay. And the Gospel of Philip, that's one we didn't talk about.
No, we didn't talk about it.
Remember Philip?
I remember Philip in the Bible, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they blamed him for this. So Jesus and Mary Magdalene shared an intimate, possibly sexual relationship. Okay, that's in Philip.
I've heard that all my life.
Yeah, so there's your Da Vinci Code stuff. That's where I got that from.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual marriage is key to enlightenment. Obviously, that undermines Jesus' sinlessness and shifts salvation to a mystical union. You get a lot of stuff. But Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted and without sin.
Mm-hmm.
Then 1 Corinthians talks about those who have wives should live as if they had none. So that kind of counteracts that, too. And then there's the Gospel of Mary. No, that was Mary Magdalene, though. That was his
mom. Mary Magdalene, not Mary. Okay.
Right. So Mary Magdalene gives, she's the one who gives secret revelations to the disciples.
Yeah.
And Peter is jealous of her spiritual rank. So here's Peter.
How come Mary gets a better job than me?
I don't think so. Peter just cuts off ears and throws things around. He's not worried about Mary so much. You know what? I think people like that show. But did you ever watch The Chosen?
Yes. I watched a bit of it. I don't think I watched the whole thing.
I started to watch it, you know, and it was like, oh, this is pretty cool. It's nice, and this and that. And then every once in a while, they sneak in one of these doctrines.
Yeah. I think that's the reason I quit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it did, like, and, you know, it's, and they got the Mormons backing it, and it's like, so.
That's like, a bad sign there.
I stopped on there.
Yeah.
You watch that. Just be careful. The artistry and the acting is good. I like that, how they put the show together. It's just the doctrines are completely wrong. As there's nowhere anywhere that says Matthew was savant of any kind. Nowhere.
Oh, there was another movie that came out a few years ago. The Shack. You remember that?
It was, Yeah.
Well, okay, I never saw it, but it was talked about in our church for like 2 months, I think. You know, Jim brought it up.
Yeah,
it was stupid. You know, it was crazy stuff. You know, I just thought I'd throw that out there just in case anybody watched that. It's garbage. Okay, stay away from it.
In my humble yet totally accurate opinion. So here's Mary. She's creating division and confusion among the apostles. Mm-hmm. But Galatians 1:8 says, if we or another angel preach another gospel, let him be accursed. Because God is not the author of confusion.
Amen. Amen.
And then there's the hypostasis of the archons.
I would want to say that three times fast. Okay.
Yeah, that just sounds fun, though. That's cool. It's a cool name.
Yeah, it is.
I don't like what they write, though. So, well, check this out. So now Eve, they rewrite Genesis, and we're doing a whole study on Genesis.
Okay.
And Eve is empowered by a female spiritual force called Sophia.
Oh, Sophia's in it now, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Right. And then, and the serpent is the liberator. So we're seeing that same theme. Here we go again. You know, Sophia or wisdom.
Notice how every one of these that is like that the serpent becomes the hero. Have you noticed that in every instance?
Yep.
The serpent is the hero. Just like
he's the guy giving you the secret knowledge.
Yeah, you know, and we know what happened to him and what will happen to him. We know all this.
Yep. And then Judas was the son of perdition. He called him the devil. So it's the same story in the Gospel of Judas. Hey, Judas was the good guy. He let Jesus out of his body. So that flips the biblical narrative, obviously, where a serpent becomes a savior and God becomes a tyrant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Clearly says the serpent beguiled me, you know, and then in Revelation 12:9, that old serpent called the devil deceives the whole world. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire.
Yep. It's his future.
Then there's something called the gospel of truth, the Valentinian.
Yeah. Okay.
Where Jesus came to correct ignorance, not to atone for sin. Okay. So they kind of just fluff up.
What would be the point? I mean, in that particular case, what would be the point? I mean, okay, you're going to educate those few people for the few years that he's here, and then after that, nothing counts anymore. I mean, that's a stupid one there. Okay, that one's just flat out stupid.
He's correcting ignorance. Okay, now what? You're corrected. You still got to pay for the ignorance you did already.
Right.
So that doesn't work. All right, so that denies the atonement, which is paying for your sin, and that's the heart of the whole gospel. That's it. Christ died for our sins in 1 Corinthians 15, and in Hebrews 9 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So you can't be, what are you going to correct? There's no forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So the summary is God the Creator is evil or ignorant, that Jesus was a mystical revealer, not the atoning Savior. Salvation through hidden knowledge and not faith and repentance in Jesus. And the serpent is the good guy, and he's the liberator.
Mm-hmm.
And the resurrection is denied or reinterpreted as an awakening. Yeah. Oh, I'm resurrected. Oh, I'm awake now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awake.
Same old nonsense.
Awake, woke. You know, here we go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, okay.
So here's the big warnings on this, and we'll end with the Gnostic writings on this, because there's so much more, but that's the basics of it all. Any of those books, stay away from.
Yes.
Because it came from Nag Hammadi. Don't buy it. So Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. And in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons.
Yeah, that's happening now.
Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time. Jude 1:4 says, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God and deny our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. All right, so there's your warnings. Don't listen to these idiots.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It's from the Book of Dave.
So all that now, all that's the bad stuff. That's the heresy, you know. I'm glad we really covered it, because last time we got like maybe 5 or 6 minutes in, if I remember right. That was really about all the time we had, you know. So anyway, it's good to know which ones to stay away from, and it's also good to know good reference material that supports the Bible as well.
That's right. Now, we did get into Enoch a little bit, and we broke it down, but basically, First Enoch is 5 different books, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll put it up here for
you.
So,
we kind of got into that. We had the Book of the Watchers.
There you go.
The Book of Parables, or Similitudes, if you would. The Astronomical Book, or the Heavenly Luminaries, or the Courses of the Heavenly Luminaries, depending on who named it. The number 4 was the Book of Dreams and Visions.
Okay.
And then the Epistle of Enoch.
Okay.
So we talk about that a lot, but we really didn't touch on Jubilees last week. So let's get into that.
Okay. Yeah, because we talked about Jubilees quite a lot in our studies, but we've never gotten into detail on it. Go ahead.
Or, you know, what's it all about, Spanky? Mm-hmm. So give you kind of an outline to it.
Okay.
And let me see. I think the Heavenly Tablets, why it matters. Because here's why we like Jubilees.
Okay.
The Qumran found it, and it was widely used by the Essenes. Several copies were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Okay. And as we know, the Essenes basically had a Christian doctrine.
Yeah.
If they were around today, they would be the born again, spirit filled, Bible thumping, Jesus freaks. Yeah, that's what they would be,
because
they knew he was coming. They knew when, they knew exactly how, and they knew all of his writings.
I mean, to the day. I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and they knew all of the writings of God too, and they took them into account. They had all the writings of the what they call the fathers, which is Jacob's 12 sons. They each had a letter for their tribe. They kept those, and they took them to heart. They didn't consider them canon, as this is part of Scripture. They took it to heart for themselves as admonitions, and some of these other books that people talk about that.
Okay.
So we find them there. So Jubilees is not in the Jewish canon. It's not in Western Christian canon, but it is in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church.
Okay.
They tended to love the word and learning, so they kind of lumped a bunch of stuff in there, including Enoch and Jubilees.
Okay,
and said, no, you got to learn this too. Okay, so I don't necessarily, fall in that line where you have to learn Jubilees to be saved kind of a thing. No, I think it's for more insight and wisdom.
Yeah, I always refer to it as reference material. You know,
that's highly venerated. Yeah.
But didn't you say, and maybe I misunderstood you going at an earlier date, but didn't you say that their Bible went from 66 books to 99 or something like that?
88.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. They got 88 books.
Okay. Wow.
And they just added a lot because they just love the Lord. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? And Philip shows up and he's like, where am I? Oh, there's a eunuch and he wants to know how to get saved. Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What's this Isaiah stuff?
Yeah.
and then the eunuch's like, well, why can't I get baptized now? He's like, okay. They baptize him.
Yes, do
and
this.
Then Philip disappears. Mm. And then he's over there. How'd you get over there?
That's cool. I love it.
Yeah. So that's a cool story. But that he brought that back. Okay. And they had a love for the word because most of them were descendants of Sheba and Solomon.
Okay.
So that when the Ethiopians, they followed their lineage back to Queen of Sheba, and she went and she said, Solomon's like, oh my God. Oh my God. Even the servants that brought the water over, like they were like, wow. Look at how they do it. And they just do it this way and they do it. And it's proper. And it's like every last little thing. and she was enamored with Solomon. And then, so the story goes, they had a little fling. She had a baby. Mm-hmm. And then the people there saw Solomon going off the deep end when he did, and they took the ark back to Ethiopia.
Yeah, so I was going to say, that's one of the big things that they claim, is that the Ark of the Covenant is at a specific location there in Ethiopia.
Yeah, and they've been guarding it ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool if that was true.
Yeah.
I haven't been there. I don't know. But I know God has it somewhere.
Yes.
But they loved the Lord the whole time. And that's why the Ethiopian eunuch was coming up and saying, whoa, that's why he's reading Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And they went back and forth regularly. And then he said, oh, the Messiah came. Oh, this Messiah came? Well, how do I get baptized? And then he brought that back, and then they all became Christians over there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, and they were Christians. And get this, they were black Christians long before any of the Europeans.
Uh-huh, okay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we in the Western world tend to think that we invented Christianity.
Right.
And, you know, Jesus looks like he's Italian.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they got him in there as a black guy. But they loved the Lord like nobody's business. So they included all these books, and because they wanted it, they wanted everyone to know all of these books.
Yeah.
So I would think it's just hyper a love for the Lord.
I'd like to get a copy of that thing. You know, I really would.
Yeah, you can get one.
Yeah,
I'd love to. Go on Amazon, you can pick one up.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you get an original one.
Yeah, probably not. You know.
2,000 years old. But, and make sure it's translated into English. I don't know how
good. Yeah, for real. Yeah, because I don't know any other languages at all.
Okay, so but the Jews did refer to it. They just didn't consider it part of the Holy Scripture.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and then there's insight into the Second Temple. It shows how the Jews in the intertestamental period there reinterpret their history and laws, because they made up stuff along the way, too.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool when they come back and fix everything. To be like, oh, man, who did this? Your grandfather. Oh, man.
That's awesome.
So this is why Jubilees is important.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is why we consider it high quality reference material, not necessarily infallible, but who am I to know?
Well, I'm looking at your notes, David. It says it's a chronological rewriting of Genesis through Exodus 12. Is that correct? And then it's got introduces the idea of pre-written divine law kept on heavenly tablets. What's that about? My eyes went straight to that one for some reason. Heavenly tablets.
Well, that's the thing. Are they tablets? Because the Bible speaks of, you know, your name's written in heaven all over the place.
Yeah, right.
So was it written on stone? Or was it written on scrolls?
Yeah.
They wrote everything on stone back in the day. Mm-hmm. Even remember in Jubilees chapter 8, it talks about the grandson of Ham. He went out and found a tablet with all the writings of the watchers, and Noah told him to get rid of it.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's that. So the idea is, there are books written in heaven because everything's a contract.
Yeah.
Everything's a contract, so the contract's got to be written out somewhere. And he says there's books written about you before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm. That's
so that's
awesome.
Kind of the idea of the heavenly tablets.
Okay.
Not only all of history, but even you individually.
Yeah.
Because that's how much God loves you. So if you haven't received Jesus and you're still trying to libel him and tell him he's a sky fairy, he wrote a book about you before he even created the world.
Right.
You may wish to revisit your sayings.
Correct.
Before the great white throne, because
once you get there, it's too late. It is too
late, bro.
Late. Yeah.
You are already in eternity.
Yeah. Not a good thing. Not a good thing.
So that I could talk about people that, you know, I can't believe they get on and they argue in creation groups all the time. I was like, if you don't believe it, God created everything, why are you bother wasting your time here? Go because out and steal some things, live it up, marry, it doesn't matter.
The way I look at that, David, is that people that do that, they do believe, but what they're trying to do is get you to not believe. You know, that I mean, that's their whole purpose, you know.
Really weird.
It's
they
crazy.
They spend all their time fighting a God that doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's insane. Just insane.
So Jubilees is basically that. It's they call it Little Genesis or Lesser Genesis.
Okay.
Or the Apocalypse of Moses. Mm-hmm. But I think it's an expansion.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more information in there. And it's like Genesis is like, okay, squish this down. This is what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God created the earth, 7 days. Boom, we're done there. Okay,
yeah.
Put the stars up there. Okay, Noah, the flood, the giants. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got that. Boom, boom, boom. But Jubilees explains all of that.
Yeah.
Well, how long were they in the garden before Details. Satan did this? Oh, Jubilees, 7 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And what did he do before the flood? Oh, Noah was here. He spent this time over there. He had the sons and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what happened with Joseph when, you know, all he was sold? Oh, Joseph, he did this and this and this and this and this. It's an amazing story of Joseph.
Yeah.
You got to go read it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham, it talks about, you know, Abraham and the cool stuff he did. I like the stories about him and his father. So he was always giving his father grief in many different books for building idols.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he carves out an idol and says, oh, look, there's our God. And he's like, what are you talking about? You just made him. So that means you're a greater God than he is.
Oh, man.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then the one day he walks in, I think the Jubilees are Jasher. And so Abraham walks in. He destroys all the other gods except the big one. And he puts an axe in the big one's hands. And then his father comes in the morning. The whole workshop's destroyed except for this one god with an axe. And he says, oh, look at that. Your big god destroyed all the other little gods. He says, that's ridiculous. Like, that, how can that happen? I just made him out of wood. And he's like, you see? Yeah. But you think he's your god.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he really laid it into his father. Yeah. And that's why God called him. And then one day the shop burned down and his brother died, which is why he inherited Lot. That was his nephew. Lot's like, oh, come live with me because your father died. So it rewrites it and it really explains it a lot better. There's the covenantal faithfulness. And this is where it really digs in. The Abrahamic covenant, it really speaks to that contract.
Okay.
With the circumcision and the Sabbath and all the other laws. Because that's a huge contract. The Abraham covenant. That's gotcha. Big. It's a promise, and he's going to come back to fulfill that promise.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's when the church leaves, it's all about Israel again.
Right.
And fulfilling the Abrahamic promise. So that's going
to
happen again.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Angel mediation. The angels in there play a more predominant role. And they're often doing the mediating between God and man. All right. And we see that same idea when Jesus is the mediator.
Right.
And he comes in, but the angels played a role. And even in the Psalms, he says, you know, the angels, they're looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has their own guardian angel.
That popped in my mind about 30 seconds before you said it. I have heard this my whole life, that everybody's got a guardian angel. Okay, but I don't remember seeing it in Scripture. Where is it? I mean, I can dig it out. I can dig it out, but you know, or what does it say exactly?
Let's pull out on the next show. But basically, it says, you know, there's an angel who watches over you. Basically, even the whole idea of the Watchers, they were like the main ones.
Yeah,
you know, the Azazel and all them.
They just
were like the Archons.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah, what we call the Archons. Because Archon means the peak. So they were the chief angels. It was a hierarchy of the angels.
Okay.
And 200 of the top ones were like, oh, I'm a good looking woman.
And
we know the rest of that story.
Yeah.
But the lower ones, some in there, they're still have that role And even when we're saved, it talks about that. The angels looking in and longing, to see this salvation thing, you know?
Well, that was, that's called laziness on my part, because it pops in my mind occasionally, but I've never taken the time to research it, you know, look it up or whatever.
Yeah, we'll do a whole show on that. Yeah.
Okay.
On angels and what role they play. Now, you can't worship them, obviously.
No.
But what is the role that they play,
mm-hmm.
and where is their position in all of this?
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And Jubilees was anti-Hellenistic. In other words, they weren't part of the Greeks, what we call the Greek society.
Okay.
Or Western society as we know it today, because we're basically America's Greek too.
Okay.
They wanted to be separate. So Jubilees plays in that line. They're separate. They're anti-assimilation. And they don't like foreign influence. They want to remain separate. And Jubilees talks about that. Okay. It says, you Jews, you are called out.
Right.
This is what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it really lays out everything that, you know, the sons of not just Abraham, but Isaac and Jacob, the 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you were called out to do. You were called to be separate.
Yeah.
But like he told Noah, you can eat anything that moves.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, I want to show the world something new, so you don't eat these clams and you don't eat these cockroach of the sea, the lobster.
Okay.
You don't eat pigs, don't eat this, don't eat, you know, and here's the rule. And I'm calling you out, but there's a reason he did all that. But for everybody, it was specifically for this, to show the world how they've fallen short of the glory of God.
Okay.
And therefore, that would lay the groundwork. See, now, if you can't accuse someone of breaking a law that doesn't exist.
Right.
Okay, so he had to establish that law and establish a people to enact that law, so he can then come and say, okay, this is a sin, this is what it looks like, and then have someone keep the law perfectly,
mm-hmm.
who was perfect, okay, and become that man to pay off the debt. And he had to be infinite, so he could pay all everybody's debt.
Amen.
So it had to be God that came down and said, okay, here, the Jews kept this law this whole time, and basically you all suck, but I am going to pay for it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so, but salvation is of the Jews, and this is why.
Yeah.
Because they laid out the groundwork, and, you know, which is where we get everything. We get the prophets, we get the Psalms, we get the Messiah, we get the writings, we get Abraham.
Yeah,
we get all of it because he worked through the Jews.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, we're running out the end here, but basically chapters 1 and 2 is the prologue and revelation to Moses. 3 through 6 is the creation to the flood.
Mm-hmm.
7 to 10 is after the flood. 11 to 15 is from Babel to Abraham. Then we got the 16 to 22 is the life of Abraham. 23-27 is Jacob and Esau. 28-30 is Jacob's family. And she was big in there. 31 to 34 is the final days of Jacob and Joseph. And 35 to 50 is the life of Joseph and the Exodus. Let's see. So it's all about the Jews.
Okay. So you got like 5 pages worth of stuff there that he just summarized, you know?
Yeah,
so
because we'll have to get into it next time.
There you go.
Tell him how to be saved.
Well, you know, I didn't finish it last time, but you know, all you've got to do is go to the Father and let him know that you are a sinner and that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you believe it in your heart that he died for you, that he rose again, and he's coming back, and promise to serve him for the rest of your life. If you'll do that and you'll pray a very simple prayer in your own words, something from your heart, God will accept it. And when you do, you will be saved. Just make sure that you end that prayer with, in Jesus' name. We'll see you next time. Good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.